thank you for joining us. We're doing a series right now on peace, and this is piece number 3. So just join in with us here. We're going to get right to the word. Peace. We have been talking about peace for a couple of different messages now, and you can check in on those on the YouTube channel if you want at any time, ALWC Space Church. And today specifically, peace number 3, and we're going to be talking about people of peace. We're going to talk about what does a person of peace look like. We're going to talk about what are some actions of a person of peace. What happens when people practice peace? Some different things there. I believe you're going to enjoy this and get something out of it. So let's just start right in talking about what is peace. Now, we've looked at this a couple times now. What is peace? What does real peace look like? I'm not going to go back into the complete definition of it, but simply peace is harmony, concord, unity, security, safety, prosperity. Peace is something that we desire, we long for it, and peace is something we can have. We talked in one of our previous messages about the fact that there is a Prince of Peace, and his name is Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. That verse was Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 to 7. Let me read it for you. It says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end." So Jesus is that Prince of Peace that was being prophesied about, and he will bring eternal, everlasting peace, and he has already actually brought it. It's available for you and I. And of course, we talked about that quite a bit previously. But today I want to look at the topic, people of peace. And first off, what does a person of peace look like? Now, interesting when I use that term, what does a person of peace look like? I'm, of course, not actually talking about how they look. You can be ugly and have peace. You can be good looking and not have peace. So I'm not actually talking about how you look. It's interesting when you talk about looks, people often associate looks with a sense of, oh, that would make me happy, or that would be what I desire, and yet it has nothing to do with true peace or happiness. I remember many years ago, a pastor talking to me. Now, my wife and I were already married, and I married a beautiful young lady. And I remember this pastor talking to me. He said, "It's too late now for my advice for you." He said, "But I often give young people this advice." And I said, "Okay, what's that?" He said, "Well, I tell the young men they should marry a woman who's kind of ugly but can cook really good." I was kind of shocked. "What are you saying?" He said, "Well, then no guys are going to steal her, and they're always going to be fed." I'm like, "Okay, this guy's a little crazy." And he said, "Oh, and I give the young guys similar advice, or the young ladies similar advice. I tell them, make sure you marry an ugly man who's hardworking, and you'll always be looked after." Now, that's not my advice for you, but there's a little bit of truth in his kind of humorous advice. And you and I both know how a person looks has nothing to do with whether or not they have peace, and nothing to do with whether or not they're happy. So someone who has inner peace is not scared, they're not angry or overwhelmed when things are not going the way they want it to. They remain strong and secure despite what's happening around them. So a person of peace looks calm, feels calm no matter what. They've got a security. It's like they have a rock. There's something about them that is awesome. It's called peace. Now let me just look at a few verses with you about, well, how does a person of peace look? Psalm 61 and verse 2-4 in the New Living Translation says this: "From the ends of the earth I cry to you for help. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the towering rock of safety. For you are my safe refuge, a fortress where my enemies cannot reach me. Let me live forever in your sanctuary, safe beneath the shelter of your wings." This was David in the Psalms, and he was saying, What he did to not be overwhelmed in situations was to call on the rock our God. And by doing that, it allowed him to feel that he was on a solid, safe rock in a place where he's protected. It allowed him to feel like a bird sheltered beneath its mother's wings, safe from all harm. In Psalm 62, 5 and 8, we read it similar again, and it says, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. Oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge." A person of peace is solid. A person of peace can be trusted. A person of peace is not here, there, strong one minute, weak the next. A person of peace is solid. And according to Scripture, we can have that when we trust in our God. This is why David could write psalms like Psalm 23, a psalm that said even when he was going through the shadow of death, he would fear no evil. Let me just read it for you, verse 1 all the way to 6. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." There was a sense of peace no matter what. Even in that valley of the shadow of death, there was peace. Even in the midst of enemies, people coming against you possibly, there was peace. No matter what, with our God, we can have peace. And a person of peace is solid because they are secure upon a solid rock. A person of peace looks like someone you'd want for a friend. No one wants more heartache. No one wants more trouble and problems in their life. But everybody's, yes, I'll have some more peace. A peaceable friend is the kind of friend you want. And of course, we know Jesus is that kind of friend. So what actions does a person of peace practice? This is an interesting question because obviously we probably would like to be a person of peace or know if we are. Well, what actions does a person of peace practice? Here's just a few for you. They pray for others, especially leaders. Now, this is interesting. A person of peace is not at war with everyone around them, but they pray for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and 1 to 3 says this, "I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good and pleases God our Savior." So here is Scripture telling us we need to be people that pray for others, and especially for leaders, praying for them that we can live peaceable lives. A person of peace prays for others, especially leaders. Jeremiah 29 and verse 7 says this. It says, "Seek the peace of the city where I have caused you to be carried away captive, and pray to the Lord for it. For in its peace, you will have peace." A person of peace prays for where they live. A person of peace prays for their home, prays for their town, prays for the place where they work. A person of peace prays peace over everything that they're involved with, because in the peace of where they live, work, eat, and sleep becomes their peace. Are you a person of peace? Do you pray for where you work? Do you pray for where you live? Do you pray for your leaders? A person of peace is also someone who gives. Now, this is interesting. You may think, well, I don't know what you mean. A person of peace is not afraid of the future, so they freely give. Look at Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. It says, "Give generously, and generous gifts will be given back to you. Shaken down to make room for more, abundant gifts will pour out upon you with such an overflowing measure that it will run over the top. Your measurement of generosity becomes the measurement of your return." People of peace give because they are not afraid. They do not hoard for themselves. They do not put their elbows out so nobody else can get because it's about me. They're at peace. They're at peace with the future, and they say, "Hey, I have a little extra, let me help you." In times of crisis, sometimes we find out whether or not we really have peace. And in the crisis we've been through and are somewhat still in, some of us lost our peace. And we got worried, and suddenly we're not giving to help anybody. We are thinking only of, do I have enough stocked up? Am I going to run out of toilet paper? Sorry, couldn't resist. People of peace give generously. Proverbs 11, verse 24 and 25 says this: "Those who live to bless others will have blessings heaped upon them. And the one who pours out his life to pour out blessings will be saturated with favor." What a verse. What an amazing verse about having that giving heart, a sense of peace that you're willing to just say, you know what? I want to help those around me. People of peace are people who are not afraid, and whether they have little or much, they're willing to share what they have. I remember growing up as a child, we were not wealthy by any stretch. But what we did have, I can remember Dad being willing to give and help out. We grew up on a farm, so often we had an overabundance of potatoes or possibly carrots or maybe some extra meat. And I can remember Dad always being willing to help. And you know what? We never lacked. We never went without, and we were people who were peaceful and happy. And I can definitely say my father was a person of peace. He wanted peace and strove for peace. And we were happy. I can remember as kids, and a memory comes back to my mind so vivid, we're riding bicycles and we were riding around on the dirt and making trails. And I can remember hearing some song on the TV that was an advertisement and it stuck in our heads. And we used to ride bikes around singing, "This is the life and I love it." We were happy as can be with what we had, whether it was an old bicycle or not. I can remember riding in the back of the pickup truck. Now, you're not allowed to do that these days, but I can remember riding in the back of the pickup truck, the wind blowing through our hair, and we're singing at the top of our lungs, "This is the life, and I love it." Listen, peace does not come from what you have. Peace actually comes from deep inside, and people of peace are willing to give to others. You think of the times in your life where you probably felt the most fulfilled and the best. Often those times are connected with helping someone else. So remember that. People of peace give. People of peace also forgive. And this is very important if you want to live and if you want to be a person of peace. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 says this: "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." We need to be people who are tenderhearted and forgive. Mark 11, 25 to 26 says this: whenever you stand praying, if you find that you are carrying something in your heart against another person, release him and forgive him, so that your Father in heaven will also release you and forgive you of your faults. But if you will not release forgiveness, don't expect your Father in heaven to release you from your misdeeds. People of peace have learned to forgive and to forgive quickly. When you forgive others, the hurt begins to heal. When you forgive others, you no longer hold it and you can walk with joy and peace. When you forgive others, it says that our Heavenly Father will forgive us. To walk around forgiven for your mistakes is a place of peace, trust me. And we know that Christ died for us to have that forgiveness and have that peace. If you're someone who lives in turmoil because of your past mistakes, you need to give it to God and let him forgive you. He wants you to walk in peace and be a person of peace. And I have found this: often people who cannot forgive themselves also cannot forgive others. Forgiveness for what you've done wrong is extremely important, and Christ makes it possible. People of peace also spread the peace that they have with others. James 3, 16 to 18 says, "For wherever there is jealousy and self-ambition, there you will find disorder and every evil kind. But wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism, and it is always sincere. And those who are peacemakers will plant seeds of peace and reap a harvest of righteousness." A person of peace is gentle, peaceable, and they plant seeds of peace where they go. When they plant those seeds will grow and come back to them. People of peace spread peace. A person of peace is blessed when they plant and give out, because there's some great benefits that come back to a person of peace. First of all, when you give out peace, you're guaranteed to have peace come in. We read the verse earlier about give and it will be given unto you. It's talking about the measure you give, lots comes, but it's also talking about what you give. When you plant seeds, you're guaranteed to get a harvest of what you planted. If you're planting lots of anger and disruption, it will come back to you, guaranteed. Anybody who's in a relationship knows this. When you plant peace, peace will come back to you. A boss who is a good boss, who has a happy staff, knows that planting peace and being generous and doing what's necessary in those areas brings it back. A boss who is angry and does not forgive and who goes like that, peace is not created. God wants us to be people of peace. Matthew 5, verse 9 says, "How blessed you are when you make peace, for then you will be recognized as a true child of God." Wow. When you make peace, you become recognized as a true creation or child of God, because we serve a God of peace. So I want to ask you this today: are you a person of peace? And maybe it's better to ask ourselves, am I a person of peace? Are you willing to check your heart and say, am I really a person of peace? Let's be honest with ourselves. First of all, do we have inner peace? Are we able to lay down and know that, hey, it's going to be okay, I'm at peace? All right, if not, then we need to say, how do I get that inner peace? And of course, I'm going to tell you. How about this question? Do we create peace in others? When others get around us and begin to talk to us, are we creating peace in them? Or are we getting them worked up, frustrated, angry, and on our side? Here's another question to ask yourself if you want to know, am I a person of peace? Do I give readily? Do I give quickly of what I have? People who hoard and who are closed fists are not people of peace. Check your heart on this. And don't say, well, I don't have. We all have something. Maybe you just have a joyful countenance and you can give joy if you have absolutely nothing else. But we do have. People of peace give. How about this? You want to ask yourself, do I forgive easily? If you're a person of peace, you forgive quickly and easily. Do you hold on to things that people have done many years ago? You do not have peace, and you are not a person of peace if that's the case. And finally, am I a person of peace? Do I pray for my leaders and the place where I live? Or do I run down my leaders and the place where I live? A person of peace does not use his words to destroy where he's at or she is at. A person of peace uses their words to bring more peace. Am I praying for my town where I live here in Slave Lake? Am I praying for my mayor and counselors, or am I tearing them down? Am I praying for my premier here in Alberta? Am I praying for my prime minister here in Canada? Am I a person of peace? You need to ask yourself that, because God wants us to be people of peace. Jesus, when he was getting ready to leave this earth, said to his followers, I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give you. So don't be troubled or afraid. Christ wants to give you peace, a peace that passes understanding, a peace that has nothing to do with your situation. And it is a free gift. It is a gift that he can give, a gift where you can know that you are forgiven, a gift that can give you inner peace that will begin to flow on the outside. That free gift comes simply by asking Christ for it. And if you've been listening to the messages here, you know that I always give opportunity for people to accept Christ, because I know what he has is unbelievable. This for me is not just a religious duty. This for me is my favorite time in a message, knowing somebody is going to catch the truth of what Christ has. And so today I want to do that again. If you know you have no peace and you've never asked Christ into your life, I want you to pray this after me right now. Just repeat this. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. And I ask you right now to come into my life. Forgive me of everything I've done wrong. Make me new. Give me peace. Make me a person of peace. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you prayed that today, you meant that in your heart, you can know that Christ has come and he's forgiven you. He's made you one of his own. You're a Christian. You can know that heaven is your future. Your future is sure. Your future is secure. Let me talk now just for a minute to those of you, you say as you listen to this, well, I accepted Christ years ago and I don't feel like I have peace. You've already accepted and received that gift, but you may not be walking in it today. I want to encourage you to walk in it. You know, you experience forgiveness, but maybe for some reason you quit giving it to others. It's time to release the wrongs others have done. Forgive. You need peace. It's time to begin praying. You know, you became a Christian. Maybe you knew prayer was important and you've kind of forgot to pray now and you do more complaining. It's time to change. It's time to begin to pray. But I want to pray for you right now. Those of you who can be honest in your own heart and say, you know what? I went to church. I've asked Christ into my life and I don't feel peace right now. I want to pray for you right now. And often I pray with my eyes open, sometimes closed, but I just want to speak the truth of God, praying it over you. So let's do it right now. Lord Jesus, I pray right now for those who are in turmoil inside. Lord, we release forgiveness to them right now. Let them be able to forgive others. I speak right now to those who are feeling a lack of peace because their future feels unsure. We say, Lord, even right now, give them the sureness that you're in control, that you love them, and that their future is sure whether they live or die. They will be with you. And right now, I speak peace flow over your people in Jesus' name. Well, thank you again for joining us. Thank you for being a part of these messages. And hey, if they've blessed you, go ahead and share them with others. Like and subscribe to the channel here. And let's get out the good news. We love you. God loves you more than you can imagine. We'll see you next time.